Now, if you've been watching our hymns carefully, you will know what scripture I'm going to tonight, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 1. We'll just read the first 8 verses of this wonderful portion of the Word. Hebrews 13 and verse number 1. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them that suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And may the Lord bless to our hearts this reading from His Word. Let's bow for a moment's prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before Thee tonight and we thank Thee for the joy of being able to blend our voices in the singing of the praises of Zion. We thank Thee, our God, that Thou art real, that Thou art alive, that salvation is real, that heaven is real. And we thank Thee, O God, that we can sing of these things with our hearts rejoicing in the goodness of the Lord our God. And tonight, our Father, we pray that Thou will bless every individual soul. We thank Thee, O God, also for the encouragement of the Word of God. We bless You, O God. This is the final authority in all matters of faith and of practice. And Lord, we pray that Thou would bless Thy Word to every heart this night. And grant, O God, that Thou would encourage Thy people, that they may rejoice in the fact that Thou art the ever-present, the omnipresent God of heaven. So be with us now, we pray. And Lord, should there be a soul still left in nature's darkness, without God and without hope and without Christ in this world or the world to come, O God, speak to that soul and grant this night that that soul would come to know the Lord whom to know is life everlasting. Hear this our prayer and bless us now, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to imagine for a moment that you're going to have a nice chocolate candy. Now, I have in mind a particular brand, but in order that I do not be accused of trying to give you an advertisement for that brand, I'll just keep that to myself. But I do know when you look at them, well, you begin to drool with the idea of getting your teeth into that particular chocolate candy. And then once you get your teeth into it and you taste it, you discover it's even better than what it appeared on the surface, and it is unimaginably good. Now, the Bible contains 31,174 verses, and every one of those verses is a gem in its own right. But every so often we stumble upon a verse that is so indescribably sweet to us that we go back to it again and again and again. And such a verse is Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. The last line that is quoted over and over again. You'll hear it in prayers. You'll hear it in sermons. Not so much do you hear it as a sermon in itself, but you'll find people always encouraging one another, speaking about God, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In fact, this verse is the very essence of consolation. C.H. Spurgeon, he goes further, and he calls it the quintessence of delight. And that's a good word, because quintessence, that is the ultimate substance. It is the fifth substance, or the fifth essence, after air and fire and water and earth. And he uses that word quintessence, which is very good because of the importance of the number five in this verse that we'll see in a moment or two. And so tonight, I want us just to take time and to meditate and to think upon that statement of God, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now the first thing I want to do is to view these words as a quotation, because you'll see that in verse 5, Paul says, he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So Paul is quoting to us, and he's teaching us here, and I believe is a good lesson for us all to learn right at the very beginning. And that lesson is, it's good to quote Scripture. It's good to memorize Scripture. Not only is it good for your language, and anybody who knows the Bible well will be able to master the English language better than most people. It'll improve your language, but much more importantly, it will improve your spirituality. Because you cannot but read the Bible and the verses of the Scripture without being blessed. So Paul here is actually quoting, as well as giving Scripture on the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he is quoting Scripture from the Old Testament. Now another lesson we can learn, and that is that it's good to honor the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. There is a tendency in modern churches today to focus only on the New Testament and to leave the Old Testament. But I've told you before that any good photograph is a combination of light and shade. And so what you do, you take a photograph, and it is the shade that gives depth to the photograph of the subject matter or person. And likewise, that when you come to study the Bible, you'll find that Jesus Christ, and he's the central message of the whole Bible, you'll find that he comes to us in the glorious light of the New Testament. But in order to see the depths of his ministry, you have to look at him in the shadows of the Old Testament. There are some who do not honor the Old Testament today the way they ought, but Paul was an inspired man, inspired by God, and he quotes in the Pentateuch, that's the first five books of the Bible, he quotes from Chronicles, he quotes from Isaiah, and so on. And then another lesson we can learn too is that the Holy Spirit of God, he is the one who instructed Paul and the one who inspired Paul, and he told him to apply that promise that we're looking at here, to apply that promise to us all, because this is a message not just for some people, it is for all believers, and it's a message for you and me in the 21st century. Now, the question comes, where did Paul find this quotation that he gives? Well, I believe it's a combination of different places. For example, you can turn back to Genesis 28, and you'll find the story there of Jacob. And Jacob is a lonely person. At that time, his head is pillowed upon a stone, because the young man, he had sinned against his family, he had stolen his brother's blessing and his birthright, and then because of that he had to leave the home and take flight, and left there in sorrow, until he comes to Bethel, where he lies down and he pillows his head upon a stone. But while he's there, God appears to him, and he says, behold, verse 15, Genesis 28, behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And so here is a wonderful promise given to Jacob way back in those early days. And there's a lesson for the young people here today. You young people are down the camp there, and I was greatly blessed to hear the report of your good behavior and your spiritual level and so on. That was an encouragement to me as a pastor. Sometimes pastors get words of young people who are not doing well, but how good it is to hear of young people who are doing well. But here is a verse. Young person, that you can take now for the beginning of your life as you're starting out on life's pathway. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, because the Lord was with young Jacob. And he told him, there's difficulties ahead and so on, but I'll be with you. I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. And young person, if you go out in life and start off on the pathway of life, and you have the Lord with you, and the assurance that he's with you all the time, that will be a tremendous encouragement and blessing to your soul as you go through life. Later on in Jacob's life, things went wrong because there's a famine in Israel, and his sons had to go down to get wheat in the land of Egypt and so on. And you remember how Joseph, unknown to them, was now in charge of the granaries of Egypt. And they went down there, and the result was they had to leave Simeon there, imprisoned in Egypt. And then they had to send down Benjamin. Jacob did not want Benjamin to go, but he knew, if I don't send them, there's no food for us, and we'll all die. And poor old Jacob, he cried out, all these things are against me. But Jacob, God gave you a promise way back in Bethel. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And it doesn't matter if you find yourself in this awful situation you find yourself in now. I haven't changed. I'm still there. And if we could just say to Jacob, look round the corner, Jacob, what's coming up? Because he got the two sons back again. But even more delightful to him was that he was reunited with his son Joseph, whom he thought was long dead. You see, that, young people, is a good promise for you to start out in life. The promise of the Lord, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The second appearance you could look at is in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 6 to 8, and then over the page to Joshua. You have here Moses saying to the children of Israel, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, that's the enemy. And for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee, he will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua, and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong, and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, he will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee, fear not, neither be dismayed. That was Moses' word to Joshua. And then you get God's word to Joshua, because over in chapter 1 of Joshua, in verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. So here is the promise. Now the interesting thing here is that there's a change of leadership coming. Because Moses has led the children of Israel for many, many years, but now the Lord is calling him home to his eternal rest, and the leadership passes into the hands of Joshua. So there's a change of leadership coming. And in that time, the Lord said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now these changes of leadership, they come to us. They come, for example, in our families. And you look abroad and you see people who filled the earth with their sound and their splendor, and all of a sudden they're gone. And the family is shaken up because there's now an empty chair, and leadership that was once there is now gone. And that's a reality. And you look abroad and you can see that. And you see people who at one time were very young looking, and all of a sudden they're a lot different. Then you look in the mirror and you discover you're just the same yourself. So there are these changes of leadership from one. For example, we were there in, as we told you last week, in Zwingli's church in Zurich, and you look there at the wonderful work that he did. But it wasn't long until he died in the battlefield, and Bullinger took over for him, from him, a change of leadership. But while the change of leadership is there, there is no change in God's promise. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And again, you can have the same thing in businesses. You can have a change of leadership. And you can also have it in the church because, well, we know that I'm getting beyond the years of useful service. And time is coming when we'll have to make a change. And people wonder, well, what's going to happen to the church in the days to come? Change in leadership. But there's no change in the promise of God. God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so the promise of Moses passed over to Joshua. And the promise to us today passes over to our successors. And so we thank God for the fact that he never leaves us. Then you turn over to 1 Chronicles on chapter 28. And in verse number 20. 1 Chronicles 28 and verse number 20. Now you have David. Here's a change of leadership again. David handing over to Solomon. And in verse 20 of 1 Chronicles 28 he says, be strong and of a good courage and do it. Fear not nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even thy my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. So now what do you have? Well, you've got Solomon here about to undertake a major, major enterprise in the glory of God, the building of a Jewish temple. Now, as we traveled Europe recently, we saw some magnificent buildings. And they probably couldn't build them today because the expense would be beyond a computation. But tremendous buildings. But was there ever a building assembled by mortal man greater than the temple built in Solomon's day? With its gold and its ornate work and so on, it was a tremendous undertaking. And just before Solomon's about to do it, he gets this promise. God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And somebody today, perhaps the Lord has been calling you. Maybe some of our young people, the Lord has called you at camp to consider the ministry of the Lord Jesus. And you may find, well, Lord, that's a very daunting enterprise, a very daunting undertaking. I'm not sure that I can do it. But God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so if God calls you to do the work, the Lord will provide the help for you to do that work. And then you turn over to Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10, a verse that is a dear, has been a great encouragement to me down through the years. And in Isaiah 41 and verse 10, God says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And the situation here is, if you read the contextual chapters, you'll find that the children of Israel were in desperate need of revival and of water to drink. Spiritual water especially. And God comes and gives them the promise, I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, I will uphold thee, and he will not forsake them at that time. And so what an encouragement that is to our hearts and souls. That verse there was the very first verse the Lord gave me in 1963 with regard to coming to the city of Toronto for the very first time. I prayed, Lord, in fact I have it marked in my Bible here, verse given in 1963 before going to Toronto. Fear thou not. That was the verse the Lord gave. And we came and we found that the Lord did not fail in his word. And so that encouraging promise of that time is still good in 2006. And so you view these words here in our text as a quotation from Old Testament scriptures. So it has a solid backing and a solid basis in the Old Testament given by Almighty God. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now let's look at these words here as an encouragement. Because primarily this is a saying and a word from God himself. You see, it says there, he hath said, the Lord hath said. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And the Apostle Paul was inspired by God to write, and it is my prayer that the Lord would impress upon your heart and your mind the 10 syllables in English of this verse, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Let them sink in. And when you're going through difficult times, go back to them. Like we'll go back to Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Let's go back to Hebrews 13 and 5. God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And then, of course, this verse, as you probably are aware, has a remarkable force in it, because it has five negatives in the Greek. Now, that's not easy to translate into our English language, and they only in English show you really two of the negatives, but there's five in the Greek there. Now, when we get two negatives in English, they cancel out, and the two negatives become positive. For example, if I say to you, I haven't got no bananas, that's two negatives, I haven't got no bananas, two negatives. Well, those two negatives actually mean a positive, because when you make that statement, and I have heard people make statements like that, when you make a statement like that, you're actually saying, I have some bananas. So when we take two negatives, they cancel out. But here is a wonderful statement that has not one, but five negatives within the bounds of that statement, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. If I was to give it to you literally in the order of the Greek words, it doesn't read easily, but this is the way it comes out. Not, you will I leave, nor not, you will I forsake. Five negatives. God is underlining, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I don't care what situation you find yourself in. My promise is true, and I will never leave you. And our closing hymn that will be coming up shortly, the number 610 that Chloe called out, How Firm a Foundation. The last verse gets it very close, because it says, The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never forsake. And so the hymn is pretty close to the literal translation of that verse. What a remarkable statement. Five times God says, I will not forsake you. I will not leave you. And you're going through difficult times, say, Lord, have you forgotten to be gracious? Remember his promise, I will never leave you or forsake you. And then I want you to notice too, that this is a personal promise, because it says, he hath said, that's God speaking, he hath said, I, that's God, will never leave thee, that's you, and that's in the singular, nor forsake thee. And so here is God himself speaking a personal promise to you and to your God. And his presence and his help is guaranteed in every situation, every circumstance and condition of life that you find yourself in. And then also you'll find that this is a protective promise, because it wards off the most awful of circumstances, the most terrible of ordeals that we face in life. We know not what lies ahead. If we did, we'd probably be very, very fearful, because all manner of things may happen to us. For example, in the very first day of January 1969, I was working in Boeing's, and things were going very well for us, and we're very happy in our life over there. It was a joy to be working there on that great project. But I didn't know at that time that in a few days we'd be plunged in the middle of a murder situation, where our pastor was murdered, and I was a witness of that murder. It wasn't long until my beloved stepfather, who was as good or better to me than my father was, who died when I was four. My stepfather died, and that was sad. I was hoping that he would live to see me ordained to the ministry. He was an elder in one of our churches, but he died just before the time when I was ordained as a minister of the gospel. That came along. And then shortly thereafter, a few years thereafter, my sister, my dear sister, Rosemary, that took her own life. She took poison. She was going through a difficult time and she couldn't face the world anymore. But oh, what an awful time that was. And then deaths that are more regular from family, mother and so on, who passed away. You don't know that these things are ahead. And ahead of you are all kinds of challenges, innumerable. And you wonder, can God bring us through these things? And the answer is, He can. Because He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So when you're in the burning fiery furnace, the Lord is there. When you're going through the valley, the Lord is there. When you're going through the difficult time, the Lord is there. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so He helps us. And He provides help for us against all troubles. Because ahead of us there may be losses. There may be slanders. There may be pains. We saw this morning those people, the servants of the high priest and the soldiers of Rome, spitting on the face of the Lord Jesus. And we told you that if they spat in the face of the Lord Jesus, you and I are not going to have any preferential treatment in this world that would spit in our faces too when you take your stand for God. So there's losses and slanders and pains. There's no discernible danger. There is no imaginable trouble. There's no conceivable difficulty that faces us. But the Lord has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You may have to move to another land. Some of us, we have come from our land, moved to this land here in the will of the Lord. Others may be led of the Lord to go out to another land to serve the Lord. And you wonder, can I do it? The Lord says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We cry out, Lord, I am so weak and so helpless. I have no power. God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We cry out, Lord, in my infirmity, I cannot do what I want to do. God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's always there. And even when we come to the chill river of death, nobody likes to talk about death. They don't like to plan for death, but death is coming for every one of us. And we don't like the cold blast of the icy, the chill river of death. But my friend, that promise still stands. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And again it tells us there to come boldly unto the throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace to help when in time of need. Whatever the need may be, the Lord is there to help us. How good it is that this is not a human promise. If this was a human promise, then we would be forsaken. You know yourself how that our help and our patience with our fellow creatures is limited. And because of that, well, we would be forsaken and never forsake them. But you think of the thousands of times that we have offended Almighty God, and yet He's never changed. And His promise still stands. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And this is a promise, my friend, that only God could give. You see, a husband could come along to wife and say, dear, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Take the marriage vow, but both of them know that eventually one of them is going to die and followed by the second one eventually. So a husband can't make this statement, neither can a wife, neither can the family members, neither can friends make it and say, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, because the day will come when they will have to leave the scene of time. Only God can make a statement like that. And he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And this promise secures for us the highest and the richest possible blessings in life. Can you think of anything better than to know that God is walking by your side? Can you think of anything more encouraging than when you're going through the valley to know that the Lord, He's there with you, and He's saying, I will never leave thee. I'm with you in the valley. I'm with you in the burning fiery fire. I'm with you the whole way there. Anything better on earth? No. Anything better in heaven than that the Lord is with you? You have to say no, because when we get to heaven, He's going to be with us for all time. There's nothing better than to have the presence of the Lord our God. In closing, what a motive it is for contentment. In verse 5, let your conversation or your behavior be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. You see, we tend to worry, and we wonder, how are things going to work out? And we get ourselves all disturbed because things aren't going the way we want them to go. But listen, God is saying, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, in the very context of earthly contentment. You've nothing to worry about, because I'm with you, and I'm with you all the time, and never forsake you. Whatever your need may be, I'll meet that need according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Be content. And then also, what an incentive for courage, because it says at the end in verse 6 there, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Now the Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs that the fear of man bringeth a snare. And the devil would ensnare God's people and keep them from living the life they're supposed to live for God. He would do his best. But it says here, we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Why? Because God has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. My friend, what a gem that God has given us in the Bible. What a wonderful encouragement in every situation of life. Whether in pleasing or painful circumstances, God's word never changes. He is the immutable God who never changes. His promise never changes. And when He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, He means it. And let us as believers therefore savor the priceless value of this verse and keep it beside us day by day, and especially when the devil comes to attack, just remind ourselves, He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Let's bow together in prayer.